Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, Bucknutters, to a very special show, the Bucknuts Morning 5 NFL Draft Special, our first for this draft cycle, and who better to do it with than the Athletic's Dane Brugler, the GOAT of NFL Draft Preview Specialists. Dane, how goes it?
It's going well. It's great to have college football back. It's the last weekend, Thursday through Monday was awesome, nonstop. And, you know, it was last year at this time, we didn't have Big Ten football. So it's just, you know, learn to appreciate college football even more, ready to get the season going with some big matchups this weekend.
Yeah, it was a tremendous weekend. Great scheduling by the powers that be. And it was just fun to have it back and the sound and the pomp and the circumstance. We are recording this on Thursday morning, so we'll get the NFL tonight. So we'll be awash in football, but we're going to discuss the NFL draft as it pertains to the Buckeyes, always the goal of pretty much everyone who comes here. And Dane has over the years given us the best possible reviews, and we're going to go over the guys that he's broken down so far. That is Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jeremy Ruckert, Nicholas Petit-Frere, Thayer Mumford on offense, Zach Harrison, Tyreek Smith, Haskell Garrett, and Seven Banks on defense. And then maybe we'll get Dane to offer up some thoughts on the Ducks coming to town. So very interesting. I think both Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave thrived in their first game. Olave more of the technician. I think Wilson more of the physical prospect. Where do you have them ranked? How would you project them? And what do you make of Olave's decision to return?
Well, I was shocked that Olave decided to return. You know, you don't usually guys that are being talked about as potential first round picks, they jump at that opportunity, especially when you look at Ohio State's offense losing a Justin Fields. There's a little bit of turnover on that offense, and you would think Olave would have made that move. But, to his credit, he wanted to get better. He still feels like there's work to do. If it's any indication in the opener, he's going to have a big year, regardless of who's throwing the passes. I think you set it up fairly well. Olave, more of the technician, and that's more with his routes. That's with his even like down to the hand technique at the catch point. He's very mechanical, but also very smooth with how he attacks the football. So a very swift strider. You know, he doesn't have that necessarily. When you just watch him, it doesn't look like he has track speed, but yet he's running away from everybody. He's creating separation. He understands how to win at the line of scrimmage. His releases, he can win early. And that's so important at any level of football. So he understands pacing very, very well. It's a dance between him and the corner, especially in man coverage. And he is a master at creating that separation. So sink at the top of routes, velvet feet, no gear down is needed in his route breaks, which is so important. Works the sideline well, just overall a smooth, smooth athlete. When I watched him, I was like, okay, he's going to be my top receiver. Then I watched Garrett Wilson. I'm like, maybe Wilson's my top. And I go back and forth. And I think it just comes down to which type of receiver you want. Olave being more of the speed guy, the technician, the route runner. Garrett Wilson, he's got some of the best body control I've seen from a receiver the last few years. Really, really just an impressive job using that body control within his routes, making natural adjustments on the football. I think he has natural ball skills. I wish he'd clean up some of the drops. I watched six tapes last year, and I think he had four drops total. And so it's not like a glaring issue, but it's something that he can get better at. Not the biggest guy, but he's going to run well, probably run in the mid 4.4s. A good route runner. There's just a lot to like about his movements and his body control. So I'm not going to fault anybody if they have Wilson number one, Olave number one. For me, entering the season, I've got Olave as a top receiver, and then I've got Wilson number two just behind him.
Like you said, it can go either way. I think ultimately Wilson will get picked before Olave, just because he's almost the complete package. He really doesn't have a glaring weakness in terms of size and speed and strength, et cetera. Maybe better at taking the top off the defense ultimately, but like you said, goes either way. You know, Olave came back ostensibly to become a number one draft pick. Do you think he's going to get his way into the first round?
Well, in my initial top 50 to start the year, I had Olave as my top receiver at number 12 overall. Now, is he going to go 12 overall? It's hard to say. But when you end up stacking the players in this draft, you know, I don't think it's the strongest draft in talking about top 10 guys. There's a lot of guys to like, with Kayvon Thibodeau at Oregon, who we'll talk about later, Kyle Hamilton at Notre Dame, the safety, Derek Stingley, the corner from LSU, but it's not a strong quarterback group. There's a little bit of a drop off. Chris Olave, he's going to be right there in that mid first round mix, as long as he plays out this season the way we think he will.
At the end of last season, both you and I think had a little bit of a crush on Jeremy Ruckert. We talked about him a lot and then really kind of expect him to come out. He didn't. He's come back. Some people question that because tight end is not a prominent spot receptions wise in the Ohio State offense. Mm-hmm. That said, I would be very happy if my NFL team took Jeremy Ruckert.
Yeah. And because he doesn't have a ton of targets, people think, oh, he just doesn't play a ton. But I mean, pay attention to him blocking. Ohio State runs a lot of 12 personnel. So they have two tight ends on the field. And, he's a lot of inline, mostly on the wing, a lot of wham blocks, a lot of where he's asked to be the lead blocker. And he's got that physical appetite as a blocker that you want to see. Really aggressive, does not mind doing the dirty work. Has a pretty flexible body type, so it's not just power. He's able to adjust on the move, break down and execute his blocks. And then as a receiver, he has shown that when he's targeted, he's going to be reliable. He can make the one-handed grab like we saw last year in the playoffs. I mean, he can be a dependable pass catcher because he has strong hands. Not the most, he's not the most proven in terms of after the catch, big plays, but he's not Kyle Pitts, but that's not, what teams are going to, they're not going to expect him to be Kyle Pitts. He's just a really well-rounded, dependable tight end. And I think he's neck and neck, and talking to scouts around the league, they kind of agree with this, kind of neck and neck with Charlie Kohler from Iowa State to be the top senior tight end drafted this year, somewhere on day two. So I thought, Ruckert looked good in the opener, and hopefully his target share just continues to increase as the season goes on.
Yeah, if you're going to put him in the Nick Vanette, Jeff Hireman, Ohio State tight end mold, I think he's the best of that crew and has probably the most athletic upside. So Thayer Mumford, really an interesting prospect. I think offensive line at Ohio State is really an interesting situation right now. Thayer Mumford, if you looked at most of the general pundits, he was one of the top returning left tackles in college football, which is the glamour spot, especially in terms of getting paid. Left tackle for Ohio State right now is Nicholas Petit-Frere. They kicked Thayer Mumford inside to guard. DeJuan Jones started at right tackle. He is a large human. And I will venture a prediction that the best left tackle on the roster is starting at right guard right now in Paris Johnson. By the way, Ohio State showed up in Minnesota and had to play their second string center in Luke Whipler, and he did quite well. Harry Miller was out. We'll see how that progresses. Let's talk about Thayer Mumford, though. When asked about Nicholas Petit-Frere recently, Ryan Day jumped right to Thayer Mumford and talked about how this would improve his draft stock. Your thoughts on Mumford and how this move will affect him, where you eventually expect him to play in the pros?
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, just the ability to show you can play multiple positions is key. You know, teams want that versatility. So, you know, with Munford, you've got a guy who at left tackle, I mean, he has a lot of what you're looking for at left tackle because he has really long arms. And scouts this spring measured him at 35 and a half inch arms, which is tremendous. Over 10 inch hands, you know, for a guy that's 6'6", just under 330, that's the frame you're looking for. And, you know, talking to scouts this spring, this summer, most had him somewhere between the third and fifth rounds. But now this move to guard, I think he's going to put himself in the top 100 conversation to be squarely on day two. And, it, you know, it's really uncommon to see a guy that a multi-year starter, he had almost 2,500 snaps at left tackle at Ohio State. He decides not only to come back for his senior year, but to come back for his extra year. He's the super senior. So he's got that extra year of eligibility. And not only does he come back, but he changes positions, going to left guard in order for the team to get the best five on the field. And he looked outstanding against Minnesota. He looked really comfortable, both in pass pro, as a run blocker. You know, he's got that trademark physical hands that we saw at tackle. We saw that at guard. And he did a really nice job keeping his weight centered going up against more powerful defensive linemen. And a lot of times when we see tackles move inside to guard, there's an adjustment because everything happens so quick. You know, at tackle, you need a little patience. The pass rusher is looking to set up moves and attack you in different ways. And on the interior, those defensive tackles, they're just ram, ram, ram. They're going at you. And I thought Munford really acquitted himself very well for his first start there inside as a guard. So I think regardless of position, he's putting himself in that day two conversation. And, you know, the versatility that he shows is pretty impressive. So long term, I think guard is going to be his best spot. But if you're a team that if an NFL team and you're looking for more tackle depth, maybe Munford can kick out the tackle in a pinch. So having that versatility, that proven experience at both positions, that's a big deal come draft time.
That said, I'm fairly confident when the draft rolls around, he will be the second Ohio State offensive lineman off the board. I reached out to you to let you know how high I am on Nicholas Petit-Frere. He was since moved to left tackle as we spoke, and he started there over the weekend, obviously started at right tackle before this. He was a tremendously high-rated recruit, and it took him some time to kind of grow into his body. I think the upside is tremendous. He's just a sharp cat. Am I too high on Nicholas Petit-Frere?
No, I can definitely understand the excitement with him. You know, another guy, he's big, long, 6'5 and a half, 304 pounds, 34 inch arms, 10 and three quarter inch hands. And, you know, he came in my top 50 board at number 27 overall, which, you know, a little bit of that is projection based off of what we saw last year. But when you watch him, he's so twitchy. For a big man, he's very spry as an athlete. He has the efficient lateral movements where he can mirror in space. I just want to see him play under control a little bit more. It's something that he needs to get better at. And it is something that most young players struggle with. He has the ability. It's just playing under control. And then the second thing, and this is a main thing, is protecting his chest. When rushers are able to attack his chest, they can get him in reverse and get him moving backwards. And he has a tough time resetting, sinking. And so it's something that he needs to get better at. Something that I saw on the 2020 tape. And then as I reviewed the Minnesota tape, something that showed up as well. So if he can get better in those two areas, Petit-Frere is going to be a first round guy. He has the ability, and that shows up not only in pass pro, but also in the run game. He's able to move bodies. You see that athleticism at the point of attack. So yeah, I think I'm, you know, we're in total agreement there with our optimism about Petit-Frere and what he can be at the next level. And the fact that even though Munford has been really good and should be, it could be a surprise day two draft pick. Petit-Frere could absolutely go in the first round.
Yeah, the NFL feels to me like it's much more mold-centric, and he just fits the left tackle mold a lot better. So I just think there'll be more interested parties. And he's an ascending prospect. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's made one start at left tackle. So let's give him a chance to kind of grow into the position. And like I said, make a note to yourself on the right guard and watch some of his tape. It looks like the Blindside movie. We're going to take a quick break, come back and talk some defense.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
All right, we are back. He was among the most ballyhooed prospects to come here at a position that is quite ballyhooed, and that is Zach Harrison, defensive end. To say he's been a disappointment prior to this year, I think would be a fair statement just based on the hubbub and the fact that he's in a lineage that includes, you know, some of the best players at that position on the earth. I saw a ranking of the top players in the NFL, and three of the top 15 players played defensive end at Ohio State. So that's three of the top 15 players playing football on the earth played that position. He did make an impression in the first game, though. I'm not sure the pressure was consistent, but he made the biggest defensive play of the game. Your thoughts on Zach Harrison?
Zach Harrison is just a rare, rare dude. 6'6", 265. He's got 35 3/4-inch arms, so almost 36-inch arms, which is crazy for a defensive end. And he's going to run in the 4.5s. I mean, just you don't see guys like this walking the earth very often. He is a very, very impressive traits athlete, very toolsy. And now he just needs to get better with the details of the position. But you know, we saw a guy like Jason Owe from Penn State be a first-round pick, a late first-round pick last year, who was very toolsy. Greg Rousseau, same thing out of Miami, a late first-round pick last year. Guys that are toolsy and have the traits but are still learning how to play the position. Zach Harrison, it's a very similar conversation. He's different, just, you know, different strengths, but, you know, freaky with some of the things that he can do that are just different than everybody else. Super long. You love the frame. You love the movement skills. He's explosive through his hips. He has lateral quickness. He just needs to be better with his natural flow as a pass rusher, anticipating trap blocks, using leverage as part of his attack, improving his overall feel for the game and for that specific position, how to break down the rhythm of blockers. So Zach Harrison is a premier talent, and because of that, he's got a very good chance to go in the first round. It's just how he develops this year, how he gets better. I mean, he's got the best defensive line coach in the country coaching him up. So if it's any indication, with the opener against Minnesota, like you said, it wasn't consistent, but if you're able to make splash plays, you know, that impacts the scoreboard. And he was able to do that with that strip sack that, Haskell Garrett was able to scoop and score. But he is a really impressive specimen who NFL scouts, they're gushing about. If he could show a little bit more development, he's going to go earlier in the first round.
I think you bring up a really good point there, because if you look at the NFL, there are defensive ends that get their butts kicked for about 60% of the game, but they make three or four plays to get pressure. And that's so valuable that you'll give away that other 60%. All right. How about Tyreek Smith? Now, this guy, very interesting cat, because I could put together a highlight tape of Tyreek Smith that would make him look like the second coming. The problem would be all the other plays that didn't get on the tape.
Yeah, he's a quality player. I mean, he's 6'4", 255, just over 33-inch arms. Probably I expect him to run in the 4.7s, low 4.7s, which is a pretty good time for him. And he's physically strapped together. He looks like, looks the part. I think he holds his own at the point of attack. He can set a hard edge in the run game. He's got really physical hands. So that helps him detach, crash down, make plays. Not a guy you want dropping in space. It has a little bit of tightness. And just needs to, you know, he's a hard charger, kind of like, you know, Jonathan Cooper was last year, but needs to add a little more finesse, a little more, sequencing to his pass rush, just to, you know, do a better job of keeping blockers on their toes so they don't know what's coming. But Tyreek Smith, you know, it's a really deep senior class of pass rushers. And he's right there kind of in that, you know, if you're going to list the top 10 pass rushers in the senior class, he's in there somewhere. It's just, it's going to be a different order depending on the teams that you talk to, the scouts that you talk to. It's just a loaded group when you go top to bottom, the senior group of defensive ends, but he's in there. He's in that conversation.
It's just, which guy are you getting? Are you getting the guy who made Trevor Lawrence's life a nightmare in his last ever start, or the guy that, you know, you go games at a time and you don't hear his name called? So we will see. One guy whose name is always called, among all the players that we've had at Ohio State, he really has one of those right place, right time gifts, and that is defensive tackle Haskell Garrett.
Yeah, I just saw it in the Minnesota game with that scoop and score. I think it's what, second?
By the way, a great scoop. I mean, that was fluid.
Oh, it really was. I mean, that bad athletes don't make that play. And, you know, it's what, his second defensive touchdown in his career. Had one last year.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's got good foot quickness, physical hands. He can pull. He can toss. It's going to be interesting this year without his partner in crime, Tommy Togiai, right next to him. And, you know, I know Ohio State's got some guy, you know, with Antoine Jackson and Vincent. Some of those, they've got guys.
They're not Togiai, though.
Right, exactly. And so how will he acquit himself, kind of being the guy on the interior? And another guy who's a little surprising, he came back. Only 1 year of true starting experience, but he was an All-American last year. And so no one would have blamed him if he went pro. But, you know, he decides to come back and, you know, just wants to expand that body of work. So eager to see if he can do that. I think right now he's viewed as a mid-round pick, but we'll see if he can change that narrative this season.
I'm not sure anybody that we've talked about has gotten as much praise for doing as little as Seven Banks. I'm not saying he's played poorly, but I kind of feel like he gets thrown into the mix because of the lineage of the position and what Ohio State has produced there rather than his on-field production. Am I right? Am I wrong? What's your vibe on Seven Banks?
You're absolutely right. I don't know where this first round, second round talk is coming from, because it's not on the tape. He had a very up and down last year, and I was told there might be a knee injury in there that's a contributing factor, with the up and down tape. But regardless, you know, he's going to need a big 2021 season if he wants to be drafted in the first 2 days of the draft. Right now, if the draft were tomorrow, he'd be a day three pick. And I know that goes against a lot of the mock drafts out there, but I get my information straight from teams. That's what they tell me. And honestly, that's what the tape tells me as well. I think he's a really good sized athlete. When you look at him, he passes the eye test, and you know, you want big corners at the next level. He's 6'1", right around 200 pounds. And I think he's a solid open field tackler. My biggest issues with him, he plays too reactive. You know, where's the play anticipation? As a corner, you have to be able to read routes and stay ahead of things. And he just doesn't do that consistently. I think he has good speed for the position, but it's not great speed. And so if he makes a false step or he's not playing ahead of things, he just doesn't have enough closing burst to make up that play. You know, that's something we saw from, you know, the Okudas of the world. And, you know, they, if they had a misstep, they could, make up that lost ground, where Seven Banks hasn't been able to do that. So, looking at his tape last year, you know, throw on the Alabama tape. And, you know, again, there might be an injury factor here that, you know, we need to take into account. But he needs to have a strong 2021 season if he wants to be drafted in the first three rounds.
Didn't play against Minnesota, has a knee injury, so we will follow that one. Huge game this weekend. Oregon comes calling. NFL draft scouts will be all over the place. If you're in the press box, that back row will be filled with guys eating free food. Give us some matchups to watch that we should really be dialed in on. Obviously, Kayvon Thibodeau versus Nicholas Petit-Frere would be the marquee matchup. However, Thibodeau nursing an injury, give us a few and maybe start with that one.
If Thibodeau plays, that's the must-see matchup of the weekend, any game. I mean, that is what you want to watch. And even if Thibodeau's, say, 75% healthy, that's still honestly probably the equivalent to an average NFL starter. That's how good Thibodeau is. He's very much on that Jadeveon Clowney trajectory as a player. He has the makings of a number one overall pick. He's got rare gifts, 6'5", 250, His movements, his power, his speed. You know, he has the advantage over Petit Frere. I mean, really, this is going to be a measuring stick game for Petit Frere, just to see where he is. Thibodeau has the advantage, but can Petit Frere hold his own? You know, can he make the adjustments? Can, you know, it doesn't have to look pretty all the time, every single rep, but can he at least hold his own against a guy that has a good chance of being the number one overall pick in next April's draft? So that absolutely is something that we'll be keeping a close eye on. Oregon's front seven as a whole, really, really impressive. Most people remember Sewell from last year. The offensive tackle went to the Lions in the top 10. Well, his younger brother, Noah Sewell, is a stud at linebacker. He's the size of a defensive end, but he plays really well in space. He's going to be a guy that the offense knows where he is on every single play because he can be a game wrecker. That's going to be something to watch. And then they've got a really good corner in Mikhail Wright, who had a nice week in week one. And with Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and, you know, like we talked about before, the long list of receivers Ohio State has, you know, Wright's going to have his hands full. And this will be a good matchup to watch that I think every scout, when they put on the tape, they're going to want to know, okay, how he fare against Ohio State. And the, you know, flip side, when you watch Olave and Wilson, how they fare against Oregon and a guy like Wright. McKinley at safety is a pretty good player. They'll need him for Oregon to step up against the Ohio State's rushing attack. It'll be interesting to see, you know, who's going to be get the bulk of the carries for Ohio State. Is it, you know, Henderson looked ridiculous for his first ever game at the college level. DeMario McCall, you know, he's a guy that's been around. He's, you know, probably got the trust of the coaches. And then, you know, what Williams did, you know, with his first, you know, real action. So it's going to be really interesting that Ohio State, that backfield, and to see how they parse out the carries and the touches. And then, you know, Oregon's got their hands full trying to slow that down.
Are you willing to make a pick here? Ohio State giving 14.5.
I'm going to say that Ohio State wins, but I'll say they win by 13 points. So I'll say Oregon covers. I think even though the game was close last week against Fresno State, let me say that this is assuming Thibodeau plays. I'm told Thibodeau's going to play, but you know what, with ankle injuries, you never know. So it could, you know, swell up and later in the week, and he's too stiff to play all, you know, so you just don't know. So assuming Thibodeau plays, that'll be my prediction. They win by 13. I think that even though it was close last week against Fresno State, I think there's a lot that Oregon just didn't show. You know, they wanted to keep a lot in the playbook for Ohio State. You know, just not give the Ohio State defense things to look at for the offense. And so, you know, I think they'll be better against the Buckeyes, but that's a tough ask for a West Coast team to go to Columbus, a noon kick. So it'll be an interesting game. Hopefully, just as a football fan, I hope Thibodeau plays, but I know that a lot of Buckeye fans are not in agreement with me on that one.
The term earth was used several times on this show. I honestly believe this. Dane Brugler, best on the earth at what he does. I don't usually pimp other companies, but he is worth a subscription to The Athletic on his own. Dane, I cannot express to you how appreciative we are of the time you gave. Hope you have a great weekend enjoying the games.
Yeah, too kind. Thanks, Dan. You too.
Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.